Welcome, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
To the Mary
and Jerry
podcast. Da-dum-ba-dum. Happy Easter.
It is.
We can say that now.
That's right.
And Easter lasts for 50 days, so we can say that in the next podcast, too.
Yeah. And then it'll be time for summer.
There you go. We hope you all had a wonderful, blessed Easter. You were able to be with family. And if you have little ones in your life, I don't know if you do the Easter bunny or what have you.
The Easter beagle, like Charlie Brown.
It seems to be very controversial these days. So
a bunny is controversial.
Whether or not you celebrate, yeah, if you do like the Easter bunny compared to just have an Easter basket not given to you by anyone but your parents.
Don't you have your Easter bonnet? Dun, 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 yes. Dun, dun.
Well, typically, I mean, this year I didn't have
Easter
an Easter
parade.
Bonnet.
Come on, I'm
I
singing
know the
a
movie
song
with
from
Fred
one
Astaire.
One
and,
of your favorite movies.
What's her name? Wizard of Oz.
Judy Garland.
Judy Garland, yeah. Judy Garland.
How can you watch all of her
movie.
Musicals?
I do.
Clang, clang,
I love
clang.
Me some Judy.
Goes that trolley.
Trolley, that's Meet Me in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. What else you got? Come on.
I think that's it.
That's all you remember.
I'm traumatized by the clang, clang, clanging of the trolley.
I love that song. Clang, clang, clang.
Yes,
with the trolley.
I know. You and your show tunes.
Dun, 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 with the bell.
Anyway, so it was a very good Easter. We got to play with trucks.
Trucks in the dirt
with our grandson. And then we ate like large amounts of
German donuts.
Ham and lamb.
We made the German
and taters.
Donuts. You keep talking about all the things. I just want to talk about the German donuts.
Yes, I know. You were very sad this year because we only made a
single batch.
Single batch.
It's the first time ever in our married life we've only made a single batch of German donuts.
You know why?
Well, because we don't need
we
two
don't
dozen
need
donuts.
We don't need two dozen German donuts.
Left over.
No, they expand out Reich.
They're so good, though.
You only make them once a year.
I know. I bite into
because
it.
Because it's hard to exercise restraint.
There is no restraint with
there
German donuts.
There is no restraint
no,
for
that's
German
very true.
Donuts.
Anyway, speaking of food.
Which we do a lot on
we
this
do.
Podcast. Just to be clear, we talk about food
we do,
a lot.
But today we wanted to talk about entertaining with a purpose, entertaining with intention.
So we started this conversation talking about cooking together in the kitchen. And then somebody's like, we don't really cook together in the kitchen. I said, well.
You stir. That's
not all
you do.
Technically speaking, that's true. I'm allowed to stir.
And
peel
vegetables.
Open cans.
You make a pretty mean breakfast, though. That's
open,
like your
open
thing.
Open tight jars and take out the trash.
And do the dishes.
And do the, yes, and clean up afterwards. That's pretty much what I am allowed to do.
I also do almost all of those things except for the trash and the dishes.
Technically, yes.
Technically? That would be
you
an
do not
actuality.
Open tight jars.
Well, I got that tight jar opener thingy. Yeah. That we ordered, and that's been helpful.
Yeah.
Don't ask me what it's called or where I got it.
I
ordered
think it's
it from Amazon.
It's called the tight jar opener thingy.
I don't know.
I think it's a registered trademark.
But we wanted to talk about entertaining with intention, right? Because I don't know about you, audience, listeners, peoples. Jerry and I are very different personalities. I don't know if you've picked up on that or not. We've actually explained that to you.
Wow.
Jerry is not.
Think about that statement. Yes. In case you were wondering, we are totally opposite personalities.
Right. So
literally,
I love to entertain.
Yes,
I love to
do.
Be around people. I love to cook and bake and I love to do all of that. I truly do. It's so much fun and it just gives me life. My husband, on the other hand, loves to do all the cooking and the baking and the eating, just not with other people.
Well, it's the theory of the conservation of like psychic entropy, right?
So I don't know what you just
said.
So
when you go into when you're in a crowded space,
entropy?
You like
is
draw energy from the room, right? You love being around people. It jazzes you up. It sucks the life out of me. So basically my life energy transfers to you in crowded, social situations that I'm just sitting there going.
Is that the official psychological?
Yes. Yes. It drains the life energy out of me and goes to you and you come home and you're like jazzed up like that was great and I'm just like I have used all of
my
words for the day
I want
a snack and to go
to
bed. Yes.
Anyway, so over the course of our 35 year marriage at the taping of this podcast, it's been 35 years,
Can you still, do you still say taping? Does that make us old?
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know. At the
podcast recording?
Recording. Sorry.
Taping. Yes, we are that old.
My 80s self
showed. Be kind. Rewind.
Oh my gosh. Anyways, we're talking about, from a Christian perspective, that entertaining is what? It is an expression of Christ's love, right? Whenever, I mean, you look at, as Catholics, we look at the altar, right? We go to Mass every Sunday. We break bread together as a community, yes, right? And we receive our Lord in the Eucharist. But the outward symbol is bread, and you're at a table, right? The altar is a table. And so we break bread together. And the idea that you open your door and you allow sometimes strangers, which really drives Jerry nutty, or you allow others that you know, that you love in your life, to come in into your home, into this intimate sanctuary, right? That shows who you are and your personality and how you've chosen to decorate it. And you ask them to the table, and then you feed them. And that's a pretty radical act of kindness, wouldn't you say?
Yes, let's discuss this for just a second. So only my wife, when we were giving a talk at Mason, not last year, the year before, at Thanksgiving, at the end of our talk, right, this is a room full of, I don't know, 70 college kids, and we knew like three of them that had been in youth ministry with us.
Yes.
And my wife, because she is my wife and she takes her Christian ministry of hospitality seriously, says, by the way, if any of you don't have anywhere to go you're not able to go home for Thanksgiving, you don't have anywhere else to go, just come to our place.
You should have seen Jerry's
face. And
I
go, I kept my poker face, but as we're going to the car, I'm like, are you kidding? What if somebody actually says yes?
They did.
And she's like, well, it'll be great. And I'm like, no.
We don't know them. Are they an axe murderer?
What if they're an axe murderer?
No, they're a college student.
Or what if they're
student.
Worse? What if they're a vegan?
No.
I'm like, no, I am not eating tofurkey.
A vegan is worse than an axe murderer.
On Thanksgiving? Yes. Who's with me on this?
Oh my gosh.
I don't need like a vegan. Oh, like I'm a vegan and I'm dairy free. And I'm like,
then you need to go
somewhere
else.
Well, here's some salad. But they did. Two people.
Yep. Two young ladies.
Two
who
young
had
ladies.
No place to be.
Came over. And I'm like, and they were so excited because, of course,
I put them to work. They were in the kitchen.
Oh,
peeling
yeah,
potatoes
they come in,
with me.
And I'm just standing here going, what is happening in my house? And Mary's like, okay, you know, whatever her name was. Here, you peel potatoes and you do this. And they were digging it. They thought this was the coolest thing. So Mary puts them to work. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go sit down now. And Mary's like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea, honey. Why don't
you
just
get out of the kitchen?
Just get out of the kitchen. We got this.
We got this. And we did. It was a beautiful meal.
That was a wonderful meal.
And we learned all about.
And then, you know, we had like dessert.
Them, their families.
They talked and then they got up and left. And guess
yeah.
what?
And then Jerry wanted a snack and to go to bed.
True, but I couldn't because I had
dishes.
Genghis Khan had gone through my kitchen and like
I
dirtied
help.
Every
Listen,
dish.
When we are at, when it's a holiday like that, I help do the dishes.
Well, you have to.
I have to because.
Because you just cook with abandon. You're like. Abandon.
I do cook with abandon.
And I'm
I do
like,
most things in life with abandon.
Oh, you got that right. But anyway, so yes, you have actually invited strangers,
strangers into
our home and fed them. And then you actually sent them home with a doggy bag
I
too.
Did,
because we don't just feed them, we send them home with leftovers.
Right. That's the whole point. You take care of them. We took care of their hearts for the day. We took care of their tummies for the day. They were missing their families, but they couldn't get back for the holidays. So
we were
their families, and we tend to be rather entertaining in those situations.
Dinner and a floor show.
And a floor show. And it was beautiful. And I we should do it more often. You will have a stroke, but we should do it. More often.
We might want to vet them.
Because, you know, the
more,
concept
though.
Is deeply, the concept of entertaining with intention is deeply rooted in the belief that every shared meal is, you know, you're sharing the love of God with another person.
That's true.
And
Jesus,
you know,
did love to party, right? He went to the wedding feast, turned water into wine, boom. He fed the 5,000 loaves and fishes, boom.
Yep. And then you have, you know, the Last Supper.
True.
Where he gave us him.
True.
So,
and
you
then
know,
after his resurrection, what do we find out?
He ate baked fish.
Jesus grills.
He does.
That's right. It's in the gospel. There was a charcoal fire. He says, come get breakfast because I have grilled it for you.
Yep. But so the purpose, this idea of the purposeful entertaining coming back around away from the grilling, which is part of your entertaining sometimes as you grill. We're grilling tonight. It's going to be really yummy. Is that it acts as a bridge, right? That it fosters communication, it fosters community, it strengthens families, it strengthens bonds, it offers comfort, right? And
I think that's why they call it comfort food.
I know, in life's various seasons. And it's not about how extravagant the event is it?
That's good, because we don't do extravagant. So
well,
no.
We have done extravagant. I mean, Thanksgiving is rather extravagant meal for us.
Well,
because it's Thanksgiving.
Okay.
But I mean, we've done cocktail parties. We've done New Year's Eve gatherings.
Oh, that's right. The
progressive dinners. Do you remember the progressive dinners?
Oh my gosh.
We used to do. So a progressive dinner, it was one of our favorite things in the Navy. And we did it a couple times here with our family group, is you start at one person's house for cocktails and appetizers.
We called them back
and
then.
Everybody gets into like, well, they all had the big van, so because they all had a billion kids. So we get into a van and then we go to the next person's, whoever's hosting the main course. And then we go to whoever's hosting the dessert. And when you do it in a neighborhood, in a Navy neighborhood, you're all usually living on the same block in Navy housing.
That's right. So you
literally
walk, which is good because you start with cocktails.
Yes. You know, and you end with cocktails.
And you end with after dinner drinks.
Yes.
Yes. It's very good.
But
oh, I forgot.
Remember that?
That was a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh. It was so, we just went up and around the circle. And it was just, we had apps one year. One year we did the main course where we borrowed our neighbor's tent and we strung it with Christmas lights. And they, we remember we were outside in our little backyard.
Yes.
And so we've done that. I mean, it's just so much. And then everybody comes in and you're looking at how everybody else entertains and what their signature dish is and what their signature drink is. And you just learn about people. It's really cool.
You
should do that again. But it makes everyone that enters your home feel like they're family, feel like they're welcome.
Does that mean I can put them to work doing dishes?
Absolutely.
Cool.
Every person that's ever been in our home after dinner has always offered to help with the dishes. And I have to say, it really is heartening when you and like some of our some of the husbands, you guys will be like, ladies, go into the living room. We'll start the tea kettle and we'll do the dishes. Like you and Marky get in there and do the
dishes.
Just
to be clear.
You're not drinking tea. You're drinking after bourbon.
I do dishes because nobody loads the dishwasher but me.
Oh my gosh. For not being an engineer, you are an OCD engineer when it comes to the dishwasher.
That's right. Because in any marriage, there are two types of people. There's the person that loads the dishwasher like an engineer, and a person that loads the dishwasher like a raccoon on crack. And you can guess which one is which in this relationship.
Oh my gosh. I'm a raccoon on crack.
When you try to load
the dishwasher.
When you try to load the dishwasher.
I just put the dishes in to get them clean.
No, you have to stack them a certain way to fit the most dishes in the dishwasher.
If that is as... For 35 years, I have not argued about that.
That's right. I have perfected.
If you want to do the dishes,
of
baby.
Dishes. Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Anyways, the Tetris of dishes. A raccoon on crack.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Good to know. Another thing about entertaining, bringing it back around away from the raccoon, is it's a beautiful way to show stewardship of what God has blessed you with. You know, you get to use your home, you get to entertain and cook and use your financial resources to give a gift of self, of time, of effort. And it doesn't, the thing is that it doesn't have to be fancy. Like we've done pizza on paper plates.
True. I mean, we actually have done a lot of actual, no kidding, ministry over meals, right?
Oh,
remember
yeah.
When we used to be marriage mentors?
Mm-hmm.
Have we done a podcast about
that
experience?
We fold that in. Yes.
Okay.
The people know.
We always have had our couples over for dinner. I mean, we just finished RCIA. We were RCIA sponsors this year. Made it through the 3.5 hours of Easter Vigil.
Beautiful.
Mass. Haven't gone to one of those in quite a while.
We haven't been in a few years, yeah.
Keep praying.
But you know what?
Keep praying for my back.
Oh, please. You sat in a cushy chair. You were in a cushy seat. You're complaining about your back. Do you need to bring your osteoporosis cushion?
No,
with you
I was
to sit
extremely
on?
Thankful that the pews in our new church
have cushions
because my tushy needed some cushy.
Wow. Well. Raccoons on crack. A tushy's needing cushy.
Well, I mean,
I don't even
so
know
this is
what's
the first,
happening.
Okay. I'm sorry. We're digressing here. This is a ping
pong
moment.
I am shocked.
Do I remember?
Do you remember?
I mean, it was 25 years ago when I came in the church.
The 21st of September. Yes, go ahead.
After each reading, did we do like
a psalm? Yes,
a psalm.
It was a psalm,
a responsorial psalm.
Yes,
after
dear.
Each reading,
every single one.
I don't remember.
Yes,
that.
That's the proper course of doing it. I know that during COVID they shortened some things in the liturgy, but this year's liturgy is the
I mean, this
correct
was the
liturgy.
Full meal deal, bringing it back around to the concept of hospitality. The full meal deal, like 7 readings, 7 responsorial psalms,
then an
7 prayers. And I'm like,
it was beautiful.
Wow.
But it didn't feel like 3.5 hours.
Oh, yes, it did.
No, it didn't.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't to me. I was just like, usually by the second reading, I'm fighting sleep. But I wasn't. I was so in. And I was listening
okay, well,
to everything.
Let's be honest. You don't sleep anyway. So it you're not a fair assessment. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Now, bringing it back to ministry. And stewardship. So we've done, We found that it's always so much better to get to know somebody
over
or to
meal.
Talk to somebody over a meal, right? Particularly when you're like we did when we were doing marriage mentoring, and you have this couple, and of course they're waiting to see what you're going to do.
Yeah, they think dinner is a test that they have to pass.
It is a test. They just don't know it because we're very subtle. And
I don't know who in this house is subtle.
You don't think I was subtle with our couples? I thought I was very subtle.
No, my love.
Oh, was I not subtle?
You were not. It is not in your DNA to be subtle.
But we had very good conversations over a meal.
We did. And we would ask, fairly simple questions. The whole point of when you're doing ministry, when you're sharing, being a good steward of what the Lord has blessed you with, is you do a lot more listening than you do talking. Right? You allow your guest to share themselves with you, to share their heart with you, to share their difficulties with you. It's a beautiful opportunity for us as host and hostess to hold space for them, right? And for their story.
What does hold space mean? What does that mean exactly?
It means I'm listening. I do, because to hold space for someone means I am not judging them. I just receive and hold what they are sharing with me. I don't attach myself to it. I don't judge it. I don't place anything of myself upon it. I simply hold that space for them. And then when they go, that goes with them, right? Because a lot of times when you're doing, like when I do my mentoring or, if you ask any spiritual director or life coach, a lot of times when your person that you're working with is going through a crisis, sometimes you can become very attached to that crisis and you get worried about them and you lose sleep about them and you're trying to figure it out. And that's not your job. Your job is to hold space. Your job is to hold that for them while they're with you. And then it goes home with them. Like it's not yours to carry.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Okay.
You are very wise in the ways of holding space.
I've just been taught well. So
me, I just kind of sit there and do this like a cocker spaniel. I just kind of cock my head, go,
Mm-hmm. Well, and it gives you an opportunity for actual conversation. So you can ask questions and you share your stories. You share your stories of your childhood. You share your stories of our marriage.
We shared lots of stories over the years over tables, haven't we?
We have indeed. Sometimes we've even danced on the tables. I'm just saying.
Some of them not suitable for a general PG audience. Just saying. We used to have some humdinger conversations during those progressive dinners in the Navy, didn't we?
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. Well, you had such a diverse group of people with, as far as, you know, most of them I would say were Christians, but politically we were all so very different. Some were very open to families. Others were like, we're never having kids. I mean, it was just very, it was a challenge to find a neutral ground. And that's another thing that I was taught way long time ago. When my grandma Green, my dad's grandma, was still alive, Grandma Betty, she used to say, when I think I was in the fourth or fifth grade when she told me this, she said, a young lady is always prepared for an event by reading the first page of the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the Society pages, and whatever sports page you'd like to write. Because that way you could have a conversation about, you could go a little bit, you know, shallow conversation, but it's a conversation that most people will enter into with you. Like, they're going to talk about their favorite sports team. You can talk about
politics. Do they still make politics. Society pages?
Oh, yeah. They sure do.
Really?
Uh-huh. Hmm. And then, of course, there's now a lot of this is online. So, and that's how you prepare for a gathering. Like, what's going on in the sports world? What's going on in the political world? Not that you really want to talk about that, but, you know.
That does bring up a good point, though.
And how to have a good conversation
is kind of a lost art these days.
Well, it's not an argument and it's not a debate.
No, I mean, just talking about, you know, sit around, talk about the weather. Old women sit around, talk about old men.
Oh my gosh, you were so off key there. I didn't know what that was.
Well, sorry. I just, but I mean, just that small talk.
That's from
Randy Travis.
Randy Travis.
Going to love you forever and ever. That's right.
Forever and ever. Amen.
That's right.
Yeah, old women sit.
Going to love you till.
Okay, stop. You're off key. You're killing me here.
I'm sorry.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Killing you, Smalls. But I mean, really, the lost art. I mean, people, it has been my observation as the Grouchy historian over the last 40 years that people.
People well, their
have
whole
forgotten
life
the fine art of
conversation.
Conversation of making small talk. You know?
We don't even do it in like, we used to, you know, when you would go, well, I would go when we would visit your parents, okay? Small town, Oklahoma. And your mother would be in the resource, which was the grocery store, and somebody from church would see her, Eleanor Pearl, da, 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 da. And they would just chat for like 2 or 3 minutes across the ground beef.
Before they remembered you were there?
Oh, no. I just watched in awe. And then they would go on. And so lovely to see you. We'll see you at church on Sunday. Like, that's small talk, right? Like, today...
It was an obligation, too. It's not like nowadays when we're in the Wegmans.
You don't even make eye contact.
Turn around. Go to the other aisle. Oh, no. You couldn't do that. You couldn't do that in Collinsville, Oklahoma. If they see you at the resource...
Yeah. Oh, then you say hello.
You better say hi.
Hey.
Now, if you were my mom sometimes, say, didn't see you on Sunday. Because that was my mother.
That was your mother.
Anyway.
She just wanted them all saved.
So.
She's a good Lutheran.
But, yeah. We've been to a lot of events. Like, yeah. You know, not, I mean, when we host, you have no choice to talk because you're coming in with my wife. I mean, let's just be brutally honest here. You cannot come in and
you
spend
don't, you're not quiet. Five you're not minutes. Allowed.
Well, it depends. I have to warm up to people, though. Right? Like,
okay, but you warm up a lot faster than you used to.
Well,
like,
I've
there
practiced.
Was in the beginning of our marriage, you literally would stare at people like they were an axe murderer and you were next on the list.
I was just keeping my eye on them.
No, it was a resting Jerry face and you had perfected it because you felt like if you could do that, then they wouldn't come talk to you and you were fine with that. I remember
well, it
one
worked,
time.
Didn't it?
I remember, yes, it did. It was very effective. It still is. I remember. We were at a Navy event. Maybe it was the dining out, something. It was fancy. Maybe it was Navy ball. I think it was Navy ball. And there was a group of new aviators that had just gotten their wings and just showed up at the squadron. And so they didn't know us. And I was at the buffet line. No, because it was dining out, so it was a sit-down dinner. I don't know where. Was I at the coffee? I don't even know. Anyways, this wife... new wife was asking me some questions about the commissary. And so I'm answering the question. She's like, oh, you know, is your husband here? And I'm like, yes, he's standing over, you know, by the door. And she looked and she had met you already. Her husband had introduced you to her. And she's like, the two of you are married? Like, for real? Like, that's your husband? And I just looked at her and I was like, why? And she goes, oh, if the two of you were standing in the room together, I would have never put you together. I'm like, is that good or is that bad? And she goes, well, he just seems so grouchy. That was your, like, that should have been your call sign. What was your call sign?
Beast.
Lena Beast. Really?
Could have been grouchy. That would have worked.
That would have worked because you were. But yeah, no, okay. So entertaining with a purpose and a passion. It's a good thing. And I remember Ina Garten, the barefoot Contessa. She says all the time, it doesn't have to be fancy. If you want to make meatloaf, then make meatloaf. If you want to order pizza, then order pizza. The point is that you're opening your door and you're welcoming someone into your home, you know, and as long as you feel
welcome,
making them feel seen and known and loved, that they have worth and value.
Famous New Year's Eve party we had.
We've had a few.
The first time that we had all of our Our young millennial friends that we met on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And we invited them to like a New Year's Eve party.
Because that's your birthday.
Because that's my birthday. And I'm like.
And they all came.
I'm like, do you really think they'll come? I mean, they don't even know who we are. I mean, yeah, we've followed each other on Instagram, but like.
We've talked. I mean,
we had FaceTime, but wow, you think they'll come? Oh, they all showed up and they were all like dressed.
Oh, it was a fancy party.
Fancy party in our living room. And I'm like, and it was, oh, it was
a
lot of fun.
Such a good time.
Because, you know, we had our little hors d'oeuvres and we had.
Those are hors d'oeuvres for people that speak English.
Had our little bar and it was a great time.
It was.
And I'm like. Now, of course, we were, as always,
the oldest ones in the room.
The oldest ones in the room, and most of them could have been our children. Mm-hmm. But it was just fascinating.
We talked about everything. We talked about politics. We talked about religion. We talked about all the taboo things. We talked about marriage and children. And
of course, in any conversation with a large group of married women, within 5 minutes, they are talking about birthing and babies. Oh, you know, well, there I was in the stirrups about to, and the guys are like, Jer, yeah, let's go refresh our drinks in the other room. Because they're about to talk about birthing and babies, and they're not going to leave out any details.
It's a monumental moment in a woman's life. She remembers all of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Howard Cosell play-by-play. And there's the head coming out.
Did it come out like a raccoon on crack?
Actually, I think a couple of them, that was kind of their birth experience, you know?
Quick births.
It's mm-hmm. like, but
so
yeah.
What is your favorite thing about entertaining?
Food.
Shocked. Shocked I am.
Well, I mean, you're right. We don't cook fancy. We don't cook fancy.
Well, we can. We just choose not to.
But you have like your go-to recipes that are like just awesome.
Okay, everybody, like what? What's your favorite?
Lasagna.
Okay, but that's for a dinner. What about like hors d'oeuvres? Like we're having like a cocktail party.
Oh.
What are the apps, baby? Tell me the apps.
Little Piggies in a Blanket.
Oh my God.
That's my favorite. Those little queechy things that you get.
I don't.
You make an awesome.
That's frozen. I don't.
You
do
make
that.
An awesome sausage stuffed mushroom.
I do.
That's super good. My
spinach
favorite
artichoke
is spinach artichoke dip or
hot crab dip.
My mama's hot crab.
Elmer Pearl's
hot crab dip.
Well, I make a great green goddess dressing.
Well,
for
now
the veggies.
Of course you're all having charcuterie.
Shark ootery.
Baby shark.
Baby.
Yeah. But yeah. And then, but no, you do. You have your go-to meals. Now, of course, Thanksgiving, it's the whole shtick. Like, you know, we have everything. But let's see. What is it you usually make something basic.
I try to make something for everyone.
Right.
So we have people that come to our home that are gluten-free, that really are vegans and dairy-free sometimes and vegetarians. And so I always check
That is definitely when I am putting on my hospitality hat, because I'm like, we're what? We're gluten-free, dairy-free, yep, vegan.
And sugar-free.
And sugar-free, but we're going to have dessert.
Oh, but I make really...
Here's an apple.
Wow. I have never served an apple. I've served gluten-free, sugar-free, dairy-free gingerbread. I've served, flourless chocolate tart.
Okay, tort. The flourless chocolate tart, mm-hmm, whatever. That was pretty good.
The blackberry gingerbread? Lemon?
No.
You don't like gingerbread to start with.
I don't. And then you make it gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan. It's just like,
and
why
what
do you
did
hate
I have
me
for
so much?
You? I had fresh fruit.
The and apple.
And a creme brulee. It was berries and creme brulee.
Okay, the little flame thing was kind of cool. That was kind of cool.
And that's fancy. That's a fancy dessert.
That is.
You know, so. That is. But most of the time, like, I'll make, like, we just had people over this week and we made chicken and rice, which is a casserole dish, right?
Right.
And we had fresh green beans and rolls and
weirdly, people
salad.
Love having meatloaf. See, I thought that was like a Midwestern Oklahoma thing. But like
when we cooked, we just recently cooked.
Everybody's
for the college students.
Wow, meatloaf! I haven't had that in a long time.
You guys,
time.
We cooked for 90 college students.
Yeah, see, we don't do
28
mere,
pounds of ground beef.
We don't do mere hosting. My Honeyland does industrial scale hosting. Oh, you need to cook for 80? No problem. We got your back.
We got it.
I'm like,
we didn't have any leftovers, like none. We had mashed potatoes.
Okay,
green
no, wait a
beans.
Minute. College kids, mashed potatoes, shocking.
And meatloaf. And I thought there'd be meatloaf left over. I'm like, they're not going to. But when we asked them what they wanted, that's what they wanted us to cook for them.
Oh, these are college
this
boys.
This week, we're doing Sloppy Joe's chips, yes, and fresh veggies, like a crudite, which is a chopped veggies and dip.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple this week.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, yeah. So when the boys were going through the line, you know, everybody gets ration. Not
the first time through.
The first time through, everybody gets ration to make sure that everybody gets some, right? So the boys are looking, and they're looking. And I'm like, dudes, don't worry. There'll probably be seconds. So they're like, okay, thank you, sir. And they walk through. And then, you know, everybody goes through, right? And then we're like, okay, so we kind of consolidate and put everything together. And then
there's
we're like,
two different lines.
Okay, you can tell them now that there's seconds if you want. And like every boy just go, whoosh, whoosh. And like, yeah, like the Genghis Khan and the hordes just, and I'm like, well, honey, we don't have to worry about what to do with the leftovers because they were gone.
Yeah. And then
there was
the
leftover
summer,
salad though, just saying. But,
the greens, yes.
But the meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
And green beans were gone. And the meatloaf and mashed potatoes were
gone.
Oh
no, all the stuff we brought.
Except
was,
for the green salad that was, you know, the, and there was maybe two or three servings of that. Not very much left at all. So anyways, that is the idea behind leaving the door open and a seat at the table so that you would share your gifts, your talents. And if you're not someone who cooks, that is why there is the Wegmans ready-made section or order out. You know, I mean, we've done that before too, where we order subs in or for a football game or something. We've done, you know, we've ordered from an Italian restaurant. We've ordered from a Chinese restaurant.
Yep.
We had pho from Pho Forever.
Oh, love that.
So good. So good.
But yes, it is definitely your gifting. It is your.
I love it.
Yes,
love
do.
It. Love it.
You love
Jerry loves the food.
I love the food.
And
well,
gets
now let's
along
be
with
let's
the people.
Be fair, okay? Now if we're hosting something that is like not just, you know, our friends coming over to hang out and eat subs and watch TV or something, you do have a tendency sometimes to be Martha Stewart on crack.
I have a tendency all the time to do that.
You know, I mean, let's go with that raccoon on crack theme. Like, you are here and it's like, you know, Pharaoh building the, yes, I said that.
Pharaoh
building the pyramids. You're like, okay, honey, you got to do this. We got to vacuum. We got to clean. We got to wipe this down. And I'm just
we
like.
We start getting ready. When we have company for dinner, we start getting ready 72 hours beforehand.
Yes.
Yeah. Now there's
like Eisenhower invading Normandy.
but that's like for like a dinner party. There's also when friends come over and they call, you know, I'll call Christine at like noon and be like, what are you guys doing for dinner tonight? Oh, I don't know. I think we're available. I'm like, just come on over. And I just put on two more hamburgers or I put on two more pieces of fish and you just Nobody vacuums. There's laundry in the laundry basket, but you're sharing a meal with your best friends, and that's kind of cool.
Yes, but when we have anything approaching not that, yeah, you become a little particular.
I am always particular when it comes to entertaining, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because you always want to make sure you have enough food, and you want to present your best self.
Have we ever run out of food? No.
No, we have not. No. Although there have, I remember in youth ministry once, for some reason we made, we were making for 40 kids and we were going to make beef stew.
We forgot to turn the ovens
no,
on.
No, no, no. The ovens broke. Everything was on and the gas was going but the beef stew wasn't cooking.
Oh, that's
and the,
right.
The igniter had broken. And so we scrambled and you ran to the Giant and got the grocery store and got like sub sandwich rolls. And
I was throwing bread and bologna and cheese in the cart like a madman. And
because mass was over in like 10 minutes and we had nothing to feed them because
bad.
The beef stew was raw.
Now, of course, the youth minister was happy because we sent him home with the beef stew.
He ate beef stew for like months.
Yeah. Well, he was living with like four other guys at the time.
So he's like, here, we have beef stew.
Here, you guys can eat this week. And he's like, really? I said, well, you have to finish cooking it. You can't eat it like this. You must. And of course, he's like, well, what do I do? And my honey lamb is like, you put it in a
crock pot.
Put it in a crock pot, or you can buy
for
the aluminum
hours.
Pan.
Right.
Cover
the
it.
Oven for
350.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, she wrote it on the foil.
I did. It was a sticky, note.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's what entertaining with purpose. I just
hospitality
hit the table. Sorry about that.
Okay,
that's what hospitality is in our home.
Yes,
and it's. I think it's a beautiful thing, and I think it's wonderful that it's an extension of God's love for us that we get to share with other people.
That's right.
So while eating Sasha's stuffed mushrooms and a really yummy cocktail. Anyways, it is now, friends, time for
what?
The not so newlywed game.
Okay, hit me.
Hit me one more. Hit me with your best shot. Hit me, baby, one more time. You're not singing today.
You
I've
told
been
me
singing.
I was off key.
Well, you're like,
hit
I'm
me
gonna
with your
love
best shot.
You forever.
Dun 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 dun. Hit me with your best shot.
I just hit you with my best shot. How would you spend Jerry Don Lenneberg? Your perfect Sunday.
Oh, I'm here. I'm making a podcast with you.
That is a BS flag that I am throwing.
Well, actually, my perfect Sunday is a hospitality Sunday. We'd hang out with our friends. We would, you know, talk about all the things, laugh.
Play
dominoes. There might be tasty adult beverages. And then we would grill meat on fire and eat with yummy side dishes.
That's true. That is your perfect Sunday. I would say for me, that's, either that or we order out and we read. We go on the front porch and just chill out.
That works too.
After mass. Of course, mass is always first.
Yes.
Yeah. Unless we went the night before.
And we're going to have to take certain critters out for a certain something.
Yeah. You better not say it.
I know. Because
they
I
speak
say
English.
It, yes. We have learned that dogs have vocabularies limited to about 8 words, which they speak fluently. I'm sorry. They hear fluently. They don't speak.
Oh, well, you
but
never
they
know.
They hear fluently.
We don't interpret well. Anyways, yes. All right. Well, excellent. That's your perfect Sunday. So my second question for you is, what sort of family did you imagine you would have when you were little? Go ahead. Be honest. Jerry did not want to get married.
When
Jerry
I was
did
little,
not
I,
want to have
yeah,
children.
Yeah, I was going to say, when I was little, I did not ever envision myself actually being married and having children.
At all, ever?
It would be highly unlikely.
When was the first time you thought, oh, this might actually like be a thing?
Probably my senior year. My senior year, second semester senior year at the academy.
Oh, with me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's nice that it was with me.
Well, yeah, duh.
For me, I always knew I wanted to be married. I wanted to have a lot of babies. I played with baby dolls. I played with Barbie dolls. I played kitchen. I played house. I played.
And how many outfits did your Barbie dolls have?
Oh, they had an entire trunk. Like
That should have been a sign to me. I should have asked that question to you. How many outfits did your Barbies have? That would have told me a few things.
My Barbies were very well, and I learned how to sew. I still dressed my Barbies up into high school because I was taking a sewing course. So I used them as a little mannequin when I wanted to see if like fabric would work together, like the patterns and stuff. Hmm. That's what I did. Hmm. I wanted to have the white picket fence. I wanted to have a beautiful home. A stud of a husband and...
Oh, well, you got one out of three. There you go.
That is incorrect. We have a fence. It's just our neighbors.
Not, I was going to say, we do not have a white picket fence.
We do not. We did at one point. We did in...
No, we had a piece of crap.
No, not fence. Here. We did not have chain link here. We had chain link in Maryland. Here we had wooden, but it was rotting when we first moved in.
Piece of crap.
And we had the white picket fence in Little Creek, dear, in the front of the house.
Did we? I have no memory of that, Senator.
And well, you were usually in the middle of the Mediterranean, so I'm not surprised.
Oh, yeah, well.
Anyways, but no, I always imagined having a family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you ask my mom, that's what she'll tell you. Mary Beth never wanted to be anything but a wife and mom.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became a wife and mother, and I was like,
and here we are,
some days,
35 years later.
This is not so bueno. I don't know. I should have maybe considered that whole becoming a nurse thing or a teacher. I don't know.
You could never become a nurse.
I would be an excellent nurse.
You would, but you'd never pass chemistry.
No, I wouldn't. I would probably kill someone with their drugs.
Milligram, microgram. What is that?
That'd be
let
bad.
Me see.
That's
let
not.
Me think. Okay.
When letters and numbers meet in mathematics,
yeah,
I'm
that's
out.
Not good.
Yeah. Okay. Last question. What's something I do that drives you nuts?
I have to pick one? Only one? Do I have to pick just one?
What's something I do that drives you nuts?
Oh, I know exactly what it is.
Okie dokie.
After you get out of the shower in the morning, you throw the towels down the stairs to say, "Hey, honey, put these in the laundry." Thunk. And you've hit me like three times because I'm standing here because I'm like...
I've been married to you for 35 years and I've only hit you three times.
But you like throw the towels. I'm like, you could just put them on the floor of the bathroom and then when you come down, grab them as you come down. But you throw them down and it is like, oh, it is my huge pet peeve. Huge pet peeve.
If that's your only pet peeve.
No, I said pet peeve.
All right, go ahead. What else? Give me another one. Hit me with your
No,
best
that's a big
shot.
One right
okay,
now.
Okay, that's a big that, one
that's
right now.
That's a big one right now.
Drives you crazy?
Drives me crazy.
Okay. The one thing.
She drives me crazy.
Ooh, ooh.
Go ahead. Your turn.
The one that has driven me crazy for 35 years.
Don't go with the toilet seat. Pick something else.
No, that does drive me nuts. No, it's you. I know exactly where you've been in this house.
I told
in
you why
kitchen.
I did that.
No, it's so that.
So I don't. So you know if I've been kidnapped. I told you that.
That is not.
Yes.
Legit.
Yes, I leave a trail so that if I'm kidnapped, you'll know exactly when and in what room I was taken by the ninjas.
I cannot. Like you go in the kitchen and I can say like, oh, Jerry made some instant oatmeal this morning. Oh, look, Jerry couldn't find the sugar for the coffee. Oh, look, how many coffee cups did Jerry go through? Two coffee cups he went through. Look, he had some granola for breakfast.
So then you would say, look, he was taken right during the middle of the granola.
He was pouring the
granola. And then you'd go, look, see, there's the towels on the floor that he picked up. And you will know that I got kidnapped somewhere between picking up the towel and getting granola.
I cannot. Thank you. This is too much. Anyways.
Thank you.
Oh, what else drives me nuts? The toilet seat. Because I fell in the freaking toilet.
Okay,
you
that's
moron.
A great story. We'll tell that story later. It was.
No, we've already told that story on some podcast somewhere.
It was one of the Anyways. Funniest moments in our marriage. Still is.
In our marriage. No, in
our
in
marriage.
Your life.
In 30.
In
oh,
your
yeah.
life, not in mine.
In 35
it was not
years,
enjoyable.
It still makes me laugh.
I'm so glad it makes you laugh.
It does.
What else drives me crazy?
Wait, I only picked one. You're on like three. Wait, I think this is grossly unfair.
Go ahead. ahead. What else drives you crazy about me? Go ahead. I'm okay. A big girl. I can take it.
Let me think.
If you have to think about it, then I'm doing pretty well.
Overall, yeah. You do have this annoying thing about, like, do you ever hear the joke that the guy and his wife were sitting there watching TV. He heard his phone go off in the kitchen. He got up to check it see what the tech said. And the tech said, "Hey, as long as you're in the kitchen, can you bring back the chips?"
Yes.
That's you.
I know.
You're like, "Oh, honey, are you up? Oh, by the way, since you're up, can you go get me this
water.
Or that? Some water, make a cup of hot tea." Yeah. And I'm like, "Honey, I was just getting..." Okay, whatever. Never mind. You do that to me all the time.
I do.
It's like, "Oh, honey, were you going to go to the bathroom?" Oh, well, while you're up,
after you wash your hands, could you please?
Yeah, I'll pause for you. See, at least we can do that these days.
We can pause.
We can pause the television while you're up getting me a snack or, you know, a cup of tea or something.
So funny. Anyways, do you have any other questions you'd like to ask on the not so newlywed game?
Oh, this is great.
Okay.
What is one article of clothing that someone could wear that would make you walk out on a date with them? Ladies, gentlemen, this could be an interesting
one question. Article of clothing that someone would wear that it would make me walk out?
I guess if you were going out on a date with the guy, what would, if he wore, would make you go, wave off.
If he looked like a 70s porn star with his shirt wide open and multiple gold chains.
Okay, you're dating yourself, dear. Nobody does that anymore. Nobody did that when we were dating.
Yeah, they did.
Who?
Oh, there's some guys in my high school that unbuttoned their shirts and did the whole thing. Oh, yeah. Three, you know, the bell would ring on Friday and you'd see a whole new personality.
Yeah, you did go to a big city school. That did not happen in Caldwell High School.
Okay. Uh-uh. Well, I literally went on 5 dates before I met you.
Go ahead.
5 dates.
But conceptually, what would you tell young women? Here you go, because you get asked this question.
Don't do the yoga pants. Come on.
No, what would you tell young women if a young man is wearing that you need to reconsider your choices?
If he comes in.
On a date.
That you're not going to a sporting event where you are playing the sport.
Right.
Or on a sailboat. And he's wearing shorts and a t-shirt and like icky.
Crocs. Crocs are a definite wave off as soon as those happen.
Wave off so hard, so fast. If he's wearing that, and like that happened to a friend of ours. She was going to the National Museum of Art and then they were supposed to go get dinner. So she wore this really pretty sundress and wedge sandals
and a
sweater. And she was all, you know, because they were going out to dinner after the, and this is the art museum. So like people don't hang around the art museum typically in shorts and a t-shirt. And he showed up in like cargo shorts with Birkenstocks and a t-shirt that had a hole in it.
Okay. The cargo shorts, if it's summer.
No.
But not on a first.
No,
date.
And he had athletic socks on with the Birkenstocks.
No, that's a definite wave off. That's like the car. That's like the Crocs.
And she
socks
was
and
like,
sandals. No,
she
wave
was
off.
Like, "What? What? What?" They did. Needless to say,
she didn't make it to dinner.
No, she got a headache halfway through the.
Didn't make it to
dinner. No, and she called us on the way home, and she's like, "You will not believe this."
I remember that.
Yeah.
So I was very gracious. I laughed my butt off, and you were giving me the stink eye. Like you're not supposed to laugh.
But you wait till we hang up the phone, and then you can laugh. You don't laugh where she can hear you.
It was funny.
All right, what about you? If some girl showed up in what? Dude, if some girl showed up in some bustier, you would have never left. You would have been
When I was a young man, yoga pants would have been great. But we didn't do yoga pants when I was young. Jeans, though, those painted on jeans, those were good.
What? Those are not good.
They were good when you were a midshipman.
Oh, stop.
Just saying. I don't know, because generally I would say that the young women, in my experience, always put more effort into looking good for a date. Now, of course, as a midshipman, you didn't have to worry about it because you had the uniform. Boom! You were good. Like, there was no question that you were going to look fine.
Yes. I can attest to that.
Now, what was funny was when the young women would show up for a dance and have no freaking clue what they were doing.
Yeah.
And it was so obvious.
There is etiquette
that they you know, they thought prom was like a formal dance, and I'm like, oh no, sweetheart, you're at the big leagues now. No, that was in my head.
Yeah,
I'm like, no, this is not your prom. This is like,
this is a Navy ball.
This is like a formal
with
dance.
With a receiving line.
Yeah.
With the superintendent.
Yeah, that there was a
or it was the white glove ball where like you had to be in.
There's a couple of times that was super gloves. Awkward.
Yeah,
but no. No, because most of the time, well, like let's give an example. When we were dating, see, you were always super cute because we were usually going to football games.
Yes.
So you knew that all
I never wore jeans. I always dressed up.
You always dressed up, which was kind of funny because you ended up running the tailgate in like a blouse and a skirt. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, jeans and a sweatshirt would have been good. And you're like, you know, you were
no, because I was on a date.
I was on a date, but I'm like, yeah, but you're cooking for all my friends. You're running the tailgate.
It was fine.
And you're like, yeah, but I don't actually do anything. I just give instructions.
This
and
is
all
correct.
Your friends do what I tell them. And I'm
correct.
Like, this is true. Mm-hmm. It was very
I did.
True.
I mean, I would bring the side dishes like from home.
Yes, but then you would tell them, do this, do that.
Yeah.
You set that up, you do that. And they're like,
okay,
and they
Mary.
Look at me and I'm like, dude, just you want to eat?
You want to eat, you do what
yes,
she says.
Yes, then do what she says. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So.
The power of the girlfriend.
Yes. Well, the girlfriend who could cook.
Yeah.
And knew how to
entertain. Very nicely done. We have made it roundabout the circle.
Brought it back around.
Entertaining with intention.
That's right. And what was your intention back then?
To marry my midshipman.
That's right.
And I do believe I was successful.
You were successful
in that goal.
I was. Bada bing, bada boom.
But just to be clear, you pursued me.
Oh, because I knew you could cook and entertain. And you look darn good.
And I'd be a good Navy wife. Like,
I knew you would be a good Navy wife.
And was it okay for the 12 years we were in active duty?
You were an excellent Navy wife. As the 12 margarita glasses in my house could attest to, you knew how to host.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Apparently with a lot of tequila. Just saying.
It was a deployment. You did deploy 4 times.
You know, hey, works for me.
Girls got to chat.
Yeah. Apparently you chatted a lot.
We did. Well, I got him on sale at Home Sense. So, you know.
So here we are.
Here we are. Anyways. All right, friends. We come to the end of another podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
On
the Mary
and Jerry
podcast.
Bada bump.
And if you'd like to leave a review for us, or if you would like to, we would love it if you would subscribe and follow wherever you listen or watch your podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple.
I didn't get the phone number.
I totally forgot, but it'll be in our show notes,
yeah.
Which is a little paragraph underneath the description of the show. So you can give us a text
or
you a phone
call.
Oh,
you can DM us on Instagram.
Instagram at the Mary and Jerry podcast.
Right.
It has been delightful to spend some time with you this afternoon.
I know. You know what we're going to go do now?
We are going to go and start the grill.
That's right.
And while the grill is being prepared, I am going to go make potato salad and roasted carrots.
Yes, food.
And then we're going to barbecue some chicken. But it's just for us tonight.
That's right. Which is fine.
Which is
more
fine.
For me.
Having an in-home day.
That's right.
So until next week, y'all, blessings and grace. Take care.